Greetings, brethren. Welcome to Sabbath services. Today we are going to look at some of the plagues in the book of Revelation, and we will see if we can fine-tune it a little bit to see how it fits with the chart that we have with the Daniel and Revelation series, which is a 470-page study. So this will be a short addendum which will go in that series. Okay, now I might mention that this calendar, and probably a good explanation of what we're going through, is in the Daniel Revelation series. And in that, I took a great deal more time to go through the numbers and so forth, so that might be better than what we're dealing with here today. Now, let's look at a part that we may make some adjustments. Now, let's look at the sequence of events. Up here, and you might note that this calendar is based upon beginning with the Day of Trumpets as the first month in the calendar situation here, because that's how the calendar is calculated. Okay? So, let's look at the calculated Hebrew calendar again here. And it said to be used in Revelation tape number 3. 13th year is a common year. What is 13 in the Bible? The number of rebellion. Huh. Think of that. This is when the rebellion in the whole world is going to take place. Okay. Now let's come down here to year 16. Let's come across. Trumpets, 1367 days to resurrection, 32 days till 1335. Okay? Daniel talks about 1335 days. Okay? So that comes down to the resurrection, because it says, blessed is he who waits to the 1335 days. That has to be the resurrection. Then we come down here and we see, next, king of the south pushing up against the king of the north. Then we come over here to the next month. Two witnesses begin. 1260 days to the resurrection plus 3.5 days. Then we come over a little further and we have King of the North. Now this is in 8R1. This is just in the Middle East. That's the beginning of spring. So the King of the North comes down and comes in and conquers all of those countries real quickly. Then we have the next one, which is the Passover. Tent of Nisan, 4 days before Passover, 1290 days from trumpets, sacrifices cut off. That looks like a reasonable place for that to be. Then we have the Great Tribulation begins right at this point. Why? Great Tribulation begins. Let's look at that. Let's come to 2 Thessalonians. He goes into the temple. He says that he is God. Okay? The Jews go and try and kill him, but he survives. Then what's going to happen after that? Okay? Then there is going to be 2 Thessalonians, 2nd chapter, verse 1. Now we beseech you, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, which then will be ultimately the resurrection, that you be not quickly shaken in mind, nor troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by epistle, as if from us, saying that the day of Christ is present. Do not let anyone deceive you by any means, because that day will not come unless the apostasy shall come first. Okay? When does the apostasy begin? Year 13. And the man of sin shall be revealed, the son of perdition, who is the beast power. And he comes in the first 3.5 years, peace, unable to make war against him. The one who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God. See, in time frame, there's a space of time here between verse 3 and verse 4. Or that is an object of worship, so that he comes into the temple of God. He doesn't do that immediately. He conquers those countries, then comes into the Holy Land, then stops the sacrifices. He receives the deadly wound. He recovers from it, and it's perhaps by anointing by the Pope, and everyone's going to say, oh, this is from God. Then, since the Jews brought this against him, what is his revenge? He comes into the temple of God and sits down as God, proclaiming that he himself is God. Now, that's all right there in this area, right just after the Passover. Okay? So what happens then? At this point, what does it say in Daniel Revelation? Or Daniel 11, rather. Tidings what? Out of the north and the east. What's happening in the north and the east? We don't know. We'll have to do a little analyzing and see where we can fit that in. Okay? So let's finish this here. Okay? Yes, proclaiming he is God. Drop down here to verse 7. For the mystery of lawlessness is already working, only there's one who is restraining at the present time until it arises out of the midst. Then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and will destroy with the brightness of his coming. When does that occur? When they're thrown into the lake of fire. Okay? Whose coming is after the inner workings of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness, and those who are perishing, because they did not receive the love of the truth, so that they might be saved. For this cause, God will send upon them a powerful deception that will cause them to believe the lie. What is the lie? The beast is God. Okay? Now, let's come back to Revelation 6 and get a little time frame on this. Okay? Revelation 6, verse 1. And I looked when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard one of the four living creatures say, like the sound of a trumpet, come and see. Now, the whole point of Revelation 5 is this. Nothing of the end time is going to happen until Christ opens the seals. And I looked, and behold, there was a white horse, false Christ, and the one who was sitting on it had a bow, and a crown was given to him, and he went out conquering and to conquer. Now, I thought in the past that this might have been with when Pope Paul I came with the Vatican ecumenical movement that they started back then with him. But I tend to think that that was way too soon for the first seal. But everything that has been being done is leading up to the point where all religions will come together quite quickly. So the first seal hasn't been opened. Now, verse 3. And he opened the second seal, and I heard the second living creature say, come and see. And another horse that was red went out, and power was given to the one who sat on it to take peace from the earth. Okay? Now, let's put this together with Revelation 13. We know that the beast begins his 42 months right here. The 42 months after his wound. And this begins with the second seal. Beginning of the 42 months. And he opened his mouth and blasphemed against God and his name and tabernacle and those who dwell in heaven. And power was given to him to make war against the saints, to overcome them. He was given authority over every tribe and language and nation. Worldwide government. Finally, they're going to do it. And all who dwell on the earth will worship him whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Okay. Second seal begins the tribulation. How long is the tribulation? 3.5 years. Okay. So what do we have on the chart? Right smack in the middle of it, the beginning of it. These events come real quickly, all one right after the other. Okay? So we see on the chart, we have the second seal is opened, okay? And the third seal is opened, 42 months and so forth, okay? So let's come back to Revelation 6. Now, once this comes out, the second beast, okay? And it was here, verse 4, and another horse went out that was red, and power was given to the one sitting on it to take peace from the earth. That ties in with Revelation 13. And to cause them to kill one another, and a great sword was given to him. Now then, the third seal follows the pattern of every war, the third seal and the fourth seal. And then the fifth seal is when the martyrdom of the saints take place. Beginning. I heard a voice in the midst of the creatures say, the third living creature. Yeah, back here to verse 5. And when he opened the third seal, I heard the third living creature say, come and see. And I looked, and behold, there was a black horse, and the one sitting on it had a balance in his hand. And I heard a voice from the midst of the four living creatures say, a measure of wheat for a silver coin, 3 measures of barley for a silver coin, and see that you do not damage the oil or the wine. The very basics of life. That's about all that they're able to live on at that time. And I looked, and behold, there was a pale horse, and the name of the one sitting on the horse was Death, and the grave followed him. And authority was given to them over 1/4 of the earth to kill with the sword and with famine and with death and with the beast of the field. So that's quite a thing. Now, how long does this take? Where do we find another time marker so we can put it together? Because as you look at the chart, we have year 17. We haven't put virtually anything in there. But what should be in there, which we will add, is the things that Revelation 6 talks about. The war continuing over a fourth part of the earth. Now, that takes quite a while, doesn't it? Okay. What fourth part of the earth? We don't know. Is this against Israel? Is this against America, basically speaking? Don't know. But could very likely be, all right? And so we'll have to fill in here that these things probably occurred and drug out for quite a while with those seals. Now, the next place we come to with a reasonable knowledge of accuracy of timing. So let's read it. We have the fifth seal, martyrdom of the saints. But here, the sixth seal. And we will see why that probably takes place about Pentecost. We'll see why. And he opened the sixth seal, and I looked, and behold, there was a great earthquake. The sun became black as the hair of sackcloth. The moon became as blood. The stars of heaven fell to the earth, as a fig tree casts its untimely figs when it's shaken by a mighty wind. Then the heavens departed like a scroll that is rolled up, and every mountain and island was moved out of place. So this is going to affect the whole earth. Now, The kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the chief captains, the powerful men, every bondman, every freeman, hid themselves in the caves and in the rocks of the mountains. And they said to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, because the great day of his wrath has come. Who has power to stand? How long is a day in prophecy? Okay. Do we have any time frame which tells us when this will be? Okay. Let's look at chapter 7 for a minute. What do we have? We have the sealing of the 144,000, a great innumerable multitude. All right? Now, we have to come back to Hosea, so let's go back there. Hosea, the 5th and 6th chapter. Because this gives us a time frame concerning when this possibly takes place. And it seems to fit quite readily. Hosea. There we go. Micah, Jonah, Joel. There you go. Okay. Hosea 5. All right. Hosea 5. Now, God says, as he afflicted Israel and Ephraim, he says this. Verse 15, Hosea 5. I will go and return to my place until they confess their guilt and seek my face. In their affliction, they will seek me earnestly. Now notice, chapter 6, how it flows right into it. Come, let us return to the Lord, for he is torn, and he will heal us. He is smitten, and he will bind us up. After 2 days, a day in prophecy is a year. So after 2 years. So the first 6 seals have to do with those 2 years, because God lifts the tribulation against Israel, but it continues against the rest of the world. So they say, come, let us return to the Lord, for he is torn. He will heal us. He is spent. He will bind us up. After 2 days, he will revive us, and in the 3rd day, he will raise us up, and we shall live in his sight. So, let's look at the chart. Okay, come down here to year 18. We have the 6th seal, the sign of the Son of Man, the sealing of the 144,000. Now, how can we make a determination that the sealing of the 144,000 takes place on Pentecost? Let's look at some evidence and we'll see how that is. Let's come back here and look at it. What do we have in Revelation 2 and 3? 7 churches, right? Okay. And that's down through history. Okay. How many weeks are there in counting to Pentecost? 7. So we can use that as a pattern to show that the 7 weeks is the salvation of the church. Okay? Down through time. Now then, Revelation 7, we have what? Something special. When does that take place? Right after the sign of the Son of Man appearing in heaven. So we have the 7 weeks of harvest of God with the 7 churches. Then we have on the next to the last Pentecost, the special harvest of God, which is probably greater than all the 7 churches. Because you had 144,000 and great innumerable multitude. And it's so important that everything comes to a seemingly screeching halt, because there comes the sign of the Son of Man. Now we know in Matthew 24 that the sign of the Son of Man is like the light of day, which is the sun, that shines from the east to the west. So here the heavens open up And all of a sudden, here's the sign of the Son of Man, like a second sun. And the whole world wonders what's going on. But then, after things calm down a little bit, and after the healing, the sealing of the 144,000 great innumerable multitude, they get used to the second sun out there in the universe. How close to the earth, we don't know what it will be, but plenty close enough that everybody can see it. All right? So that continues. Now then, we come to chapter 8. So we can say chapter 7 is Pentecost. Chapter 8. What starts in chapter 8? The trumpet plagues, right? Now remember, the seven trumpets are the only place in the Bible where you can count the first, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, and seventh trump. You can't count a trumpet any other way except with that. Seven special ones. Start with trumpets, end with Pentecost and the resurrection. Where the trumpets are blown, we don't know. We do have one time frame, though, okay? So chapter 8, we have the blowing of the first four. We have that. First four trumpet plagues. And they come quite rapidly. 1, 2, 3, 4. Now then, when we come to chapter 8, remember, when the heavens are rolled back like a scroll, the whole earth suffers tremendous damage because every island is moved out of its place. The great earthquake, there's a lot of damage. Now, then there's the sudden calm. 144,000 great innumerable multitude then are sealed. Then we come to the trumpets. It's very likely those start on the Feast of Trumpets. Okay, so we have that space of time for the world to regather itself from all of the trouble and difficulty. Okay, now then, when we come to chapter 9, we find that there's the fifth and the sixth trumpet plague. All right, chapter 9. Let's look at it here. Year 18. Sign of the Son of Man, sixth seal opened, sealing of the 144,000 great innumerable multitude. Then we have a half a month, 3.5 months probably, yeah, 3.5 months to trumpets. All right? Then we have the trumpets plagues blown. Now you see right down at the bottom, the first four come very quickly. Then the fifth trumpet, okay, which is the first woe. So let's read it, chapter 9, because we may want to adjust our timing here just a little bit. Verse 1, and the fifth angel sounded his trumpet, and I saw a star that had fallen from heaven to the earth, and it was given to him the key of the bottomless abyss. And he opened, now the star is an angel. Okay, because a star can't come down and open. So that's an angel. He opened the bottomless abyss, and there went up a smoke out of the pit, like the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by the smoke of the pit. Then locusts came onto the earth from the smoke, and power was given to them, as scorpions of the earth have power. And it was said to them, do not damage the green grass, because after it was all burned up previously, it grew back, see? Or any green tree, any green thing, or any tree, because all third had been burned up. Remember, third of all grass was burned up, third of all trees, third of all plants, okay? And that scorpion plague came upon the men who did not have the seal of God in their forehead. So the star is an angel. We don't know how fast they can go, but as they're streaking down in their glory, if this one has a lot of glory, to open the abyss, then it would look like a star falling. Okay. Now, with this scorpion five-month thing, let's read it, verse 5. And it was given to them that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months, and their torment was like the torment of a scorpion when it stings a man. So we have that there, 5 months. Okay. Now, here's where we may need to make a little adjustment to the chart. Let's come down here. Let's come down here, verse 13. No, verse 12. The first woe is past. Behold, after these things, two more woes are still to come. And the sixth angel sounded his trumpet, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar that is before God. And it said to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, loose the four angels that are bound in the great river Euphrates. Okay. Then the four angels who had been prepared for an hour, a day, a month, and a year were loosed so that they might kill a third of men. And the number of the armies of the horsemen were 200,000,000, and I heard the number of them, that's 200 million. Okay. Question. With the other war going on, let's look at it this way. Remember in Daniel 11 that the king of the north, who is the beast, what troubled him? Tidings out of the north and out of the east. Okay? So, could it be that the armies from the east were moving toward the Holy Land because they have about 3,500 miles to go from the east coast of China to get to the Euphrates River. And you're not going to do that all of a sudden. So could it be that these armies of the east were all gathered there at the river Euphrates, and then he released the beast power, released that scorpion plague which held them there for 5 months? Because a lot of the armies seems logical that with the battle going on over here, more in the west and in the Middle East, that the armies would be coming toward the Middle East. So could it be that we missed the point that these armies were gathered along the river Euphrates? Then came the scorpion sting for 5 months, and they were immobilized. Then, when the trumpet blew after the 5 months, the river Euphrates opened up, and they were able to cross. Because you don't have much time. You look at it here, see? You look at it here on the last year. Okay. Question came up, was the falling star to open the abyss, Satan? I don't think he has the key to it. I think it had to be a righteous angel to release. Because if that were Satan, maybe he would have opened it up sooner and got them out with the special weapon sooner. Okay. Remember, it says that Michael and his angels fought, and the dragon and his angels fought. So I doubt that God would give the key to Satan to let the demons out, because if that happened, then God would not have the control that he really needs over it. Okay? I'm sure that a righteous angel is going to bind him into the bottomless pit again, or the abyss, Revelation 20. So we would have to assume that it is a righteous angel who unlocks it. Revelation 12 and verse 8. Now, Revelation 12 and verse 8 shows that after Michael and his angels fought against the dragon and his angels, but they did not prevail, neither was their place found any more in heaven. So they had the ability to go before God. Isn't that what happened with Satan and Job? Satan came before God. Here now, they're totally cut off completely. Okay. Now, let's come back here to Revelation 9. So what I think we probably need to consider and add it in there, because while the beast power was making war over one-fourth of the earth, it's very likely that the armies from the east began moving toward the Middle East, and by time the plague of the scorpions for 7 months comes, they're right there at the river Euphrates. Okay. If I said 7 months, it's 5 months. Okay. Could it be that they're right there? And they're stuck there the 5 months. They can't advance any further until that five-month period is over. Now, someone proposed that the fifth and sixth seal were simultaneous. But I don't think it could be simultaneous when it says of the fifth seal that it's 5 months, and men can't do anything for 5 months. So, was that released because these armies were already advancing from the east and came to the river Euphrates? And then for 5 months, they were stopped there. Now, that makes sense, because you've got 3,500 miles for your armies to come. And you got to bring everything with it. You got to bring the ammunition. You have to bring the food. You have to bring all of that that comes. Now, there are probably also ships coming around from the Asian countries, coming around into the Gulf of Aqaba and coming right into the Holy Land right there. Now, I think that makes a little more sense, and that would fill in a great portion of year 17 and part of 18, and that would probably show the very reason why that they had to have this plague of the scorpions, and it worked for 5 months. And then you see what happened after that. So let's read on. Verse 17. And so I saw the horses in the vision and those sitting on them. They had fiery breastplates, even like jacinth and brimstone, and the heads of the horses were like the heads of lions, and the fire and smoke and brimstone shoot out of their mouth. By these three, a third of the men were killed by fire and the smoke and the brimstone that shoot out of their mouths, and their power is in their mouths, for their tails are like serpents and have heads, and with them they inflict wounds. But the rest of the men who were not killed by these plagues still did not repent of the works of their hands, that they might not worship demons and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and wood, and which do not have the power to see nor to hear nor to walk. And they did not repent of their murders or their sorceries or of their fornication or of their thievery. So this makes more sense, that battle got very intense once that plague of the scorpions was lifted. Okay? Now then, we have the seven thunders. Now, we don't know what the seven thunders are. Never told. We don't know. But we know that leads up to then the seventh trumpet. Now then, seventh trumpet is the first resurrection. All right? With all the saints on the sea of glass there, from Pentecost to trumpets, then what happens in that time period? The seven last plagues, chapter 16. Okay? Then we find in chapter 16 that they all are gathered, beginning with, let's pick it up here. Okay? Verse 10, chapter 16. And the fifth angel poured out his vial on the throne of the beast, and his kingdom became full of darkness, and they gnawed with their tongues because of the pain. They blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, yet they did not repent of their works. And the sixth angel poured out his vial into the great river Euphrates, because it was dried up, armies came across, again the waters came down. So for the rest of the armies to come, they have to dry it up again. And the waters were dried up, that the way of the kings from the rising of the sun might be prepared. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, out of the mouth of the false prophets. And these are spirits of demons working miracles, going forth to the kings of the earth, even of the whole earth, to gather them together to the battle of that great day of the Almighty God. So here they come. The last bit. This is something. This is going to be such a devastating thing. And this is the earth we're going to inherit. You think about all the problems we're going to have to solve when we come back from the sea of glass. So this is quite a thing. So I think with what we have with the Daniel and Revelation series, I think it would be a good idea to add in there that these armies of the east came as far as the river Euphrates, and then the 5 months of the torment came upon them, and then after that, the river Euphrates was dried up, and here they come. Now think about it for a minute. What does it talk about that Israel does after the millennium begins and the final battle with the rest of the armies? That's called the Valley of Gog and Magog, right? And they are what? 7 years getting the bones out, right? So this is going to be a battle between the fifth trumpet and the sixth trumpet, and then the seven plagues, and the last two. There are going to be so many people killed, it's going to be something. And yet, they're going to be there to try and fight the return of the saints and Christ to the earth. Okay? So, that's the earth we're going to inherit. But I think I will modify this chart and take care of a couple of things on the other side and add that to the Daniel and Revelation series that we have.
For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.